want to read this morning from Genesis chapter 50. Genesis 50, verse 20. I'm excited for this word, because we're going to be speaking on the subject evil, God, and good. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the Word of God says this: "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve the lives of many." Let me read that one more time, and let's really get into this. "As for you, you meant evil." Can we all just say evil?
Evil.
All right. "You meant evil against me, but God," come on, say God.
God.
So you see evil, God. God meant it for good.
Good.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I'm nothing but a vessel. We're just here now, Lord, to learn your word. I just pray that you would use me. For those who are here now, for those who are listening online, I just pray, Lord, that you would open up their hearts to see what it is that you're trying to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Evil, God, and good. This verse was taken out of an amazing story of a young man named Joseph. Now, everyone knows the story of Joseph, but for those who don't, Joseph was a brother to 12. So Joseph had a massive family. But all of Joseph's brothers were really jealous of him because Joseph had a father named Jacob. And Jacob loved Joseph. Joseph was the favorite son because Joseph's mom was Rachel. And Rachel was loved by Jacob. Jacob had two wives. And Jacob loved Rachel. Loved Rachel. So because Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob naturally favored Joseph. He gave everything to Joseph. So Joseph's brothers were all jealous of him. They did not get along. They did not like him. So here's my point. Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. Now we look at the life of Joseph, and Joseph became second in command of Egypt. He was blessed. We all know that aspect of the story. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Joseph came from a very difficult, dysfunctional family. So show me your hands if you understand and relate difficult and dysfunctional in your family. Say amen. Raise your hand. Say, "Pastor, I know all too much about dysfunctional family. I am a member of one. I have a dysfunctional family member right here with me now. I understand dysfunctionality. I know what it's all about." If you have a dysfunctional family, that is awesome, because God loves it. He loves it. He doesn't want the perfect family. He doesn't want the people that have it all together, because the more messed up you are, the better God can do in your life and get the glory and the credit for. That's why God loves dysfunctional people. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I know He loves this church. Just dysfunctional people. His life was so dysfunctional. Joseph's family, for example, his father was Jacob. Jacob, the name means deceiver and liar. So Joseph's father was a liar. He was a messed up person. And it's interesting because even though Jacob was a liar and messed up his family and he stole from his brother, he had Joseph, and Jacob loved Rachel. And here's the interesting thing. Joseph might have asked one day, "Hey, Dad, how did Mom and you meet?" He probably had to say, "Well, son, you know, the thing is, I met your mama. She was hot. She was fine. I loved her. But the thing is, your grandfather lied to me, and he made me work 7 years for your mama. But after that, he gave me your aunt instead, and I had to marry her. and work another few years for your mom. That's a messed up story, isn't it? So wait, you mean to tell me that you were married to auntie for a minute? Yes, I was, son. It's a messed up life. Joseph's brother, for example, Reuben, he had a brother named Reuben. Reuben slept with one of Jacob's wives. That's not cool, and one of his concubines. You don't do that. That's crossing the line, Reuben. He had two other sons named Judah and Simeon who killed and murdered a ton of people because they raped their sister. So there's already murder in the family. There's infidelity in the family. There's liars in the family. It is a messed up family full of dysfunctional people. But God still did good out of Joseph. Because it doesn't matter how dysfunctional you might feel. It doesn't matter what family you were born to. Who did what or what happened. God says, I can still do good in your life. I can still bless you. I can still do something magnificent through you. So Joseph was already, it was tense because everyone knew that Joseph was the favorite son. And one day as his brothers are out in the field working, Jacob says, son, go in and go check up on your brothers. Why did Jacob say that? Because he was the favorite. And he put Joseph in charge of his brothers. The little brother in charge of the big brother. Have you ever heard of that? No. But he was the favorite. So Joseph is going to the field and everyone's there working. And here comes Joseph. He knows things are tense. He knows his brothers don't like him too much. But Joseph says, hey guys, guess what? I had a dream. And in this dream here, all of you were bowing down to me. That's not smart. And in this dream, I was conquering you guys. And next thing you know, he ends up in a pit. Sold by his brothers. Because Joseph came from a dysfunctional family. I understand this because many people come up to me and say, Pastor, you won't believe what my uncle did. You won't believe what my brother did. You won't believe what my sister did. You won't believe what my cousin did. You won't believe, and I believe it all. Because families aren't perfect. People aren't perfect. We understand that people can be evil, amen? We understand that people can be messed up, whether family or not. Evil can be done to you. Joseph was a victim of evil. He was treated wrongly. He was falsely accused. He was sold as a slave. And what hurt the most was his brothers did it. See, oftentimes what hurts you the most is not what happened, but who did it to you. It's not the experience that you went through, but the person that you trusted, the person that you loved, the person that you just confided in. Hurt you. I think the pain that Joseph carried was the fact that it was his own brothers that hurt him. Joseph was sold into slavery, but in the end of Joseph's story, he said what we read. As he's confronting his brothers years later, he says, you guys, you did evil. You ever feel like confronting that person and saying what you did was wrong? You don't know what I went through because of your selfishness. You don't know the pain you caused me. We all feel and wait for that moment that you can confront them and say, if you only knew what you did to me. And Joseph has this moment that he's with his brothers. And he says, that was evil. But God, He turned it into good. He's thanking His brothers for the evil they caused in Joseph. Could you thank your enemies today? Could you thank them for the injustice? Can you thank them for the pain? Can you thank them for the tears they caused you? Because God's going to do something good out of the evil that was done to you. And Joseph is there. And he says, what you did for evil, man, God turned it into something good. For a greater purpose. See, there's no doubt in my mind. We live in an evil world. Full of evil people who do evil things to other evil people. Because we're all evil. Well, everyone but you. Right now, the person sitting next to you. They're evil, not you. I'm not talking about you. You're great. You're a saint. You're awesome. Amen? You better not amen to that. There's no doubt that there's evil in this world. There's evil at work. There's evil at home. There's evil in church. The devil's at church. Evil is everywhere. There's no doubt that you're here this morning and people have hurt you. There's no doubt that people have mistreated you. These people were your friends. These people were your families. These people were your family members. This was an ex-wife, an ex-husband. This was someone that you trusted and loved. These evil could have been a church member, whoever. But everyone shares this in common. All of us have been hurt by evil. Amen? You know why you know you've been hurt by evil? You know how you can identify evil? Because you are evil yourself and you know what evil looks like. That hurt. Ouch. But how do you know something is evil? Because you're evil and you can identify it. I know evil when I see it because I'm evil. You know evil when you see it because you're evil. So can we all agree right now? Because this message will not work if you are a saint. So all my evil people, make some noise. All right, all evil people. All right. So this message is for you. Because they caused you pain. The word evil in the Hebrew is a word that means raw. You ever feel like people just rah? And they rah. Evil. Every at work, at school, in your family. They just come to you and hit you with evil. That word raw in the Hebrew means pain. It means something unpleasant and to cause injury. An injury is the aftermath of something painful that you still carry. So if your knee still hurts, it's because it's an aftermath of something that happened. So many people in the church are still injured by something that happened years, months, weeks ago. Many of you still are injured by what someone did or said or didn't do or haven't said yet. There are so many people that worship injured. There are so many pastors that preach injured. You drive injured, you go to work injured, that smile on your face could be an injury. Because all of us relate to evil because we're evil ourselves. And all of us have been hurt by an evil person. And because of what they did, we carry with us the pain of evil. And we carry with us the injury of our past. So many people live every day of their lives injured by something that was done by someone. But here's the thing. When we read the story of Joseph, and we see how God got the evil and turned it into something good. We look at that and we get encouraged. We look at that and we say, man, that is awesome. I love that. That's my favorite part of that story. When Joseph is in his brother's face and he said, well, what you did for evil, God made for my good. And we preach on this and we say, man, that is awesome. Because when we read a verse like this, that God turns evil into something good, we think that God has to do the same for us. We tend to think that because God did it in the life of Joseph, God has to do it in my life. So God, I'm going to wait right here and I'm going to wait for you to do something good out of the evil that person did in my life. We preach on this. Romans 8:28. God works all things for good. Don't we love that? We know that God causes all things to work together for good. We read that and we say, man, that's an awesome verse. So God, you read this verse and you assume God's got to make this work. God has to do something good. So we get all happy and positive when we read this and we say, we know that God causes all things. I have to apologize to you as your pastor because I myself have preached this verse halfway only. And I've told you in the past, God's going to work in your life. God's going to bless you. God's going to make the evil into good. But that's not all that true because there's a fine line and this verse is very exclusive to a group of people. So I'm about to burst your Christian bubble. So let's read this the right way. And we know, that's like for sure, that God causes all things to work together for good. So God causes, because God doesn't do evil, because there's no evil in God, but God allows it. That's that word cause. So, God causes all things to work together for good. And here it is. For those, there's the exclusive. For those who, what? Love God. It's like the Holy Spirit came out of nowhere and stabbed me. He's like, shh. And I fell. What was that? Conviction. Because as I read this verse, I realized something interesting that God was showing me. He said, tell your church, I am a God that can do good out of evil, but I expect something of them. We read this verse and we assume God has to do to me what he did to Joseph. He needs to take all the bad and do something good in my life. God has to give me promotion. God has to bless me. God has to give me good because he's a good, good God. So give me a good family. Give me a good marriage. Get me a good job. Get me a good this and a good that. And I want to be a good, I want a good future. Because God, I expect good out of you. And we hold them accountable to this. But we never see and really realize that God says that in order for God to work all things together for good, he needs those to what? Love him. Do you love God? If you want to see good in your life, you need to get love in God. That word love in the Greek is agape. It means an unconditional devotion and commitment to God with no strings attached. I love you. I'm committed to you. So we want the good from God without the commitment. We want God to do good in us, but don't ask me to commit to you. Don't ask me to give you my life, my days, my hours. Don't tell me to give you my priorities. I don't want to make you a commitment, but I expect you to do good in my life. Are you kidding me right now? God works He does good, but it's for those who are committed. People complain, well, I don't understand why it's not working. And my family's not good. My marriage isn't good right now. My finances aren't good right now. And my life is not good right now. And we get mad at God. But where's your commitment? Where's your priorities? What do you love right now more than God? Nothing. I'm a Christian. I love God. Let me ask you this in a different way. What are you committed most to right now in your life? My children, then it's not God. My job, then it's not God. Because the word love there means commitment. Not feeling. Commitment. So stop demanding good from God if you're not willing to commit to Him. And you're not willing to surrender your life to Him. See, we get all caught up in the story of Joseph and we cry and we say, that's beautiful, man. It's so beautiful. Because God took the evil and He like turned it into good. And God's going to do that for me. But we fail in realizing that yes, God did good in the life of Joseph after, and He promoted him, and after everything, he got married, he had children, he had the best job literally in the world. But what we fail to see is that Joseph loved God. And he was committed to Him. God didn't just do good in the life of Joseph just cause. Joseph was committed. See, Joseph, he was sold into slavery. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was hurt. He was lied about. He went through trials and tribulations. He went through prisons. He went through setbacks and failures. But through it all, he kept God first. And he put God as a priority. And he loved Him. And that's why God said, Joseph, I can bless you. I can do good in your life because you love me. Genesis 39:3. When Joseph saw his brother. Notice this. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him. And how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. How does a master who lives in Egypt, who never knew anything about God, knows what God looks like? Because through it all, Joseph kept his integrity. His character. There wasn't no church in Egypt. Billy Graham wasn't around yet. But for some reason, this guy, his master, learned about the Lord because of what he saw in Joseph. And this is my point. This is how you know you love God. Because your love for God doesn't change because you're going through a difficult time. Even though he was sold as a slave, his brothers betrayed him, and life and God was unfair, Joseph still had a right attitude. And he didn't complain. He wasn't negative. He wasn't critical. He wasn't mean. I see people when they go through things, they just become mean people. And they feel entitled to their meanness and their bad attitude because you don't know what I've been through. And they justify their attitude and their complaining and their negative thinking because, well, I was hurt. Not Joseph. If anyone could have been the meanest person ever, it was Joseph. But he went to work every day. Demonstrating the love of God. That's commitment. You know you're committed to God when life is hard, things aren't fair, and people hurt you, and you still act like Jesus. Are you committed now? I saw this in my mom this week. I haven't in my years, how old am I? 34? 34. In 34 years, I've never heard my mom say one bad word. I don't know anyone that has that record. We were in Walmart this week, and I tell you, Walmart is the gate of hell, the door. I always said that. I helped her with the groceries. Long story short, the lady that we happened to have was very rude, very, very rude. And she just said something that I was like, oh. And I left. I was like, oh, it's going to get... I saw, my mom was like, what'd you say? And you know what I did? I was like, oh, I'm out of here. This is going to get crazy. I did right around. I backed up. I left. I was like, woo, you're going to get it. And my mom corrected her with love and gentleness. And I was like, oh, I forgot it was mom. I wanted a show. I thought, this is it. This is the one that's going to get my mom. She's going to say the words. She's going to tear her apart. And she is like, ma'am, I don't appreciate the way you're speaking to me. She was so nice. I was like even convicted a little. Because that's commitment. If y'all are driving, grocery shopping, raising your kids, going to work, studying in school, do you do it like Jesus? That's commitment. I'm just nosy, but how many are convicted right now? Okay. Joseph wasn't mean. Stop being so mean. Life is unfair. Get over it. Stop being so mean. I think God is too good for you to be so mean. Life is too beautiful and short for you to be all mad. And there's nothing worse than a mean person that says they're a Christian. I don't want mean members at Forward. But I find them all the time. Life is hard. Life is unfair. Don't let your attitude reflect that. Joseph was committed. Genesis 39:9. Life was hard for Joseph. He's been lied to, betrayed, working a job he never wanted. Never wanted a job in Egypt cleaning floors. God's going to put you in places because of people. You're going to be in positions that you never wanted because of the selfishness of someone else. That's true for everyone here. So, Joseph is working. By the way, Joseph was hot. The Bible says that he was built, ripped. He looked good. Ladies, you know him? You just look good. And he's scrubbing floors, and you see the triceps and the biceps bulging. The abs are popping out. And Potiphar's wife was like, And I don't know about this, but maybe ladies can help me. Do you ever look at someone that you say, oh, he's going to be mine? Anyone? Oh, okay, let me rephrase that. Before Jesus... before Jesus Christ, the other man that got you, did you ever look across the club or something or wherever you were and you just saw him and you knew the tricks you had to play, the hips you needed to move, I don't know, whatever you needed to do to say he will be in my life. Amen, sisters? Anyone? All right, that's Potiphar's wife. She sees Joseph. He's all hot and everything. And she did it. She's like, and the Bible says every day, not one time, she was that girl says, I'm not giving up. So the Bible says every day Potiphar's wife would just straight for it. Joseph, come to bed with me. Didn't even ask him out on a date. Since the beginning of time, I've said it, girls are worse than guys. All the guys said, she ain't innocent. We think it's the guys that are dogs, but women too. Let me not go off on that, but every day she went straight for it. Let's skip the romance. Joseph, come to bed with me every day. Let's have sex every day. Come on, Joseph. No one's going to know. You ever felt the pressure of sin like that in your life? The pressure because Potiphar's wife called out to him. And I wonder in your life what sin is calling at you every day. Come on. Just once. No one's going to know. And she persisted every day. And Joseph, guys, I read this. I said, wow. Look at what Joseph said. There's no one greater in this house than I. Joseph said, I know I can have you. You can tell your sin that right now. I know if I wanted to right now, I could have you. So Joseph said, there's no one greater in this house than I. He's withheld nothing from me except you. You're off limits. See, the things that are off limits are the things that the devil pressures you with. I hope that you're getting this. Because a lot of you are under pressure by sin. And Joseph, the Bible says, because you are his wife. So you know that Joseph got straight to the point. He didn't say, I don't want a relationship right now. You know those things that we say just to tell people in our hearts, I'm not attracted to you? No. Joseph, in the context, never said that. So maybe Joseph was attracted to her. Maybe Joseph was like, girl, if I could, I would, but I can't, so I won't. So notice what he says here. Because you're his wife, how then could I do this great evil? There it is, evil. How could I do by? Because we live in an evil world, so evil will pressure you. Every day you're going to be pressured by sin and evil. And the reason you give in to sin is because you don't view it as evil. You excuse it as okay, fine, not a big deal. But when you call sin evil, you will not give in to it. Joseph said, how can I do this evil and sin against God? That's commitment. Commitment says, I don't care what I'm going through, it will never justify me giving in to sin. Because a lot of us say, I did it because I was stressed. I did it because I had so much pressure. I did it because I'm a man and I have needs. Joseph was a man with needs and still said, how can I do this against God? His focus was God. Because he loved God. So when you love God, you hate sin. So Joseph was pressured. Joseph felt this pressure every day. Man, she looks so good. Man, she wants to give it to me. Man, no one's going to know. But Joseph said, I love God too much to do this. Because when you are committed and you love God, you hate sin. Do you get it now? You see already the pieces coming together, why God obviously did good in the life of Joseph? Because many people ignore this stuff. They just assume God just, hey, I'll give you good. Genesis 50, 50-19. Joseph passed the attitude test. He wasn't mean, negative. Joseph passed the flesh test. Didn't give in to that which was evil in the eyes of God. Even though he felt the pressure. But then Genesis 50-19, Joseph said to them, his brothers, those same brothers that hurt him and lied about him and sold him into slavery, the same reason Joseph was in prison and he went through so much pain and suffering, those brothers ended up years later coming back to him. I can't imagine what you would do if that were you. Let me tell you something. And the amazing thing is Joseph now, I love what God does. Joseph's brothers came to him only after Joseph got power. The power was the test. Joseph had the power, if he wanted to snap his fingers and he would have cut all their heads off. Could have sent them to the same prison he went to. Could have put him in the same line of work they put him in. Because he had power. Do you know that you have power over your enemies? But God doesn't want you to use it. You're like, ugh. You have the power to tell them off. You have the power to reject them. You have the power to slander and ruin their reputation with one click of a mouse. You have the power to mess up their lives. Doesn't mean you have to use it. Joseph, his brothers came. And Joseph said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of... There he is again. Am I in the place of, can we say it? God. Why do you love your enemies? Well, it's not that you love them, it's just you love God. So because I love God, I love people that I don't really love right now. I don't know how it works. Joseph forgave his brothers. He never said, it's okay. He never said, oh, I forget about it. He told them to their face, what you did, that was evil. But I love God. And I cannot repay evil for evil. And not only am I going to forgive you, brothers, I'm going to provide and make sure you never struggle again. You know you are committed to God when you can bless your enemies. I say this because Joseph went through test after test of commitment to God. A committed person has the attitude of Christ. A committed person hates sin. And a committed person forgives evil. He forgave them. Didn't hold on to a grudge. Didn't make their lives miserable, even though he had the power to. He forfeited his power for vengeance to forgive them and bless them. Jeez, I wonder who that sounds like. Oh, guys, it's Jesus I'm talking about. Had the power to send you and me to hell for our sins. Had the power to banish you forever. Had the power, but didn't use the power. Rather, forgave you and blessed you. Because Joseph demonstrated, I have the power, but I'm not going to exercise it. Because I'm thinking about God. Commitment is in your character. Commitment is found in your convictions. Commitment is found in forgiveness of others. When his brother showed up, the Bible says, Joseph yelled, "Get everyone out of here and leave my brothers." You know why Joseph sent everyone out of the room? Because it was not their business and he was not about to shame them in front of others. Because when people get hurt, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, text messages, conversation at Starbucks, I need to let everyone know how messed up that guy is. But not Joseph. Because he loved God, he said, if you have nothing to do with this situation, I need you to kindly just leave the room. So that when everyone in Egypt saw their brothers, they would not have accused them, they would not have treated them wrongly or anything, because they had no idea how evil his brothers were. I wonder now how many people know how bad someone is only because you told them. Oh, is that a stabbing? Is that God stabbing you now? Why is this message so important? Because I think God gets tired of hearing you say, "I love you." But it doesn't show in your attitude. I think God gets tired of you saying, "I love you," but it doesn't show in your private life. When no one's watching and the pressure of sin is coming. I think God gets tired when you say, "I love you, Lord," but you're bitter and unforgiving towards someone. Because real love is what Joseph demonstrated. And I ask you today, are you demonstrating this in your life? If not, don't say you love God. Say, "I'm falling in love with Him. But I need work." You want God's goodness? But God wants commitment. You want a good life? You want a good marriage? You want to raise good children? All of that requires commitment to God. Are you willing? I want to illustrate this for you. Romans 13:1. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. You know how you stop the flesh from coming? Well, you put Jesus on. How do you stop making provisions for the flesh? Because man, I tell you, that flesh is like the minute it says, "I'm hungry," you're like, "Here you go." And just feed it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did God say that? Because in our nature, we're naked. You came out naked. In your nature, you're naked. Now, just because that's your nature, does that make it right to go out into the street naked? Try to go out in the street and do groceries naked. And as they're handcuffing you, say, "It's my nature." You have to fight against your nature. You know that your nature now as a human being is sin? You have a sin nature. So God says, you need to fight that nature. Every day it is a fight to overcome sin in your life. And it's a choice. That's why you put on Jesus, because it is a choice for you every day to go against your nature and put on an outfit. This morning, all of us here went against our nature and we put on some clothes. Because even though it is our nature, doesn't mean it's right. You get this? But God says you got to make a choice. And when you put it on, these clothes that you put on today, you taking it everywhere with you today. You're going to have lunch in what you put on with. You're going to drive with what you put on with. You're going to be with people with what you put on with. So when you put on Jesus, you live at home with Him. You go to work with Him. You do groceries like my mom did with Him. You do everything with Him. That's what it means to put on Jesus. Do you love Him? If you do, it shows in your commitment. But today, people will tell me, and pastors everywhere and everywhere, I love God. Oh, I love Jesus. If you would go up to the worst person, the worst sinner, and say, do you love God? Majority of them say, oh, yeah, I love God. If I would ask you right now in this church, do you love Jesus? You'd most likely say, I love Jesus. But here's the problem. We don't really know what that love means or looks like. We don't really know how God defines love. So when God defined love, He said agape, unconditional devotion and commitment. That's love to God. So when God asks you, do you love me? What He's really saying is not, what do you feel? You know what God is saying? Hey, are you committed to this? Are you committed to me? Am I going to be first in your life? Or not? People say, God, I love you. I love you, God. We sing it, I love you, Lord. This is a jacket. Amen? Amen. All right. Do I right now, do I have a jacket? Is this jacket serving its purpose if I'm holding it like this? But I have the jacket. Like you say, oh, I have God. But why isn't it working? Not wearing it. Not putting it on. People say, it's not working. My marriage is a mess. My finances are a mess. I'm miserable. I'm just discouraged. I'm depressed. I'm this. I'm that. And I ask them, do you really have Jesus? Oh, I have Him. Well, some people have Jesus. This is a Jesus sweater, by the way. Made it myself. So cute. You ever seen these people? If you're one of these people, I don't like you because I don't understand you. You ever seen this guy? You ever seen this guy? You ever seen this? This guy, you usually see them in the mall, preppy. You know what they call this? Casual. 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 Some people have a casual relationship with God. Casual with Jesus. You know what casual is? If you look it up in the dictionary, casual is just a relationship that involves time and sex, but no commitment. So you want all the benefits without the commitment. Do you know how many people are casual with Jesus? I want all the benefits of having you in my life, but don't ask me to be committed. Because we have confused commitment to being radical. It's not radical to love Jesus. Casual says, oh, it's just for looks. Some of you look great, but it ain't working because you have a casual relationship with the Lord. I wonder if this is your level of commitment with God. I'll casually go to church. I'll casually read my Bible if it's convenient, if I'm up for it. I'll casually tithe. I'll casually serve. And then you wonder why nothing in your life is good. Because you're wearing Jesus, but you're not putting Him on. Casual. I hate it, so does God. Because the churches that take over the world are not with these people. Have you ever seen this guy? This guy is nuts. You ever seen this guy? I see this guy every day in my life and career as a pastor. This guy or girl wears it like this in case they need it. Do I have the jacket? Is it serving its purpose? No. Because some of you, you've passed casual. You're just saying, Lord, if I need you, I'll call you. I see it all the time. When you're in trouble, your marriage is in crisis, your children are rebelling, your life is a mess, you're in the front row, hallelujah, and you're worshiping, and you're giving, and you're there, you're making sure, oh, here I am. Some of you, I know you're here only because you're in trouble. And you're going to talk to me after service. Because this is how you came to church. I know you. I haven't seen you in months, weeks, years, but there you are. I'm like, oh, what happened now? God, I need you. I need you now. So then you put them on. Oh, but wait, I don't need you anymore. Life is good. I'm good. What? Bad doctor's report. I'm going to put them on. Oh, no, what? It was a false alarm. I'm good. My bills are paid. My children are okay. My marriage is fine. So Jesus, I have you on hold. Stand by, on call. I wonder if you have a relationship like this with God. You say, if I need Jesus, I'll be on my knees. I'll be in that church. I will pray. I will fast. I will surrender. Because Lord, I need you now. And God said, where were you when you didn't need me? And life was good. So then the other person, all right, God, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to put on Jesus. So now, all right, Jesus, do I have the jacket on now? Yeah. So if I go to lunch today and I have this on, I'm eating with Jesus. So if that waiter is up to no good, I'm still good. If I'm driving and people ain't driving good, I'm driving good because Jesus is good. I take Jesus everywhere with me because Jesus is on me. This is a hard life to live. Imagine going every day knowing everyone knows I represent Christ. So I got to watch what I say, what I do. But you put on Jesus. But here's the problem. Some of you, I don't know who you are. Some of you say, I have put on Jesus, but I'm still living a life that's not pleasant, it's uncomfortable, because you put on Jesus, but this is what also you have happens. You say, okay, I got Jesus, but Lord, I want you, but I am not about to just give this up. I'm going to keep on my attitude. How many of you have Jesus? Do I still have Jesus on? Yeah. But you still have an attitude? You're still prideful? You're still arrogant? You're still critical? And you're still negative? And oh, but I have Jesus. That's why it ain't working. Because some of you, this person is the one that wears too many layers. You ever know someone like that? He's like, dude, you're in Miami and they got coats and sweaters and I'm like, but this person said, oh, I have Jesus, but I'm not going to just give up my sin just yet. So I have Jesus, but hey, I'm going to, on top of that, I'm going to just, so now I'm going to keep my attitude. Oh, this is a big one too. This one you all have. Oh. You all have this one. Ready? I'm going to keep on my attitude and my bad habits. Do I still have Jesus? But you know what? It is getting hot in here now. And a little bit uncomfortable. Some of you are bloated with sin. But this is what, you know, you're laughing, but I laugh at you when you laugh. I have Jesus.
I don't know why my life is still not good. I don't know why I don't have a good marriage. Why don't I have a good family? Why is everything not good if I have God? Because you have God, but you have also layers. Other things. So these people say, I'm just going to add Jesus to my sin. And I wonder if that's you today. You're wondering why it's not working out with you and God? It's because there's a lot coming between you two. Church, do I still have Jesus? Oh, you know He's in there. You know what God says right now? Oh, I know Jesus is in there somewhere. But it's so layered in there. There's so much. You see how this? You see the sweat? And how uncomfortable this is, because when you live like this, you should feel uncomfortable. People say, oh, I have Jesus. I have Jesus. I love Jesus. But you have so much other things that you have. And that's why it's not working. Because you might say, you're the casual one. But you can't be casual. You need to be committed. You might say, you're the waste one. The just in case one. But you can't just in case with God. You just have to commit. And you might be the layer one. I want Jesus, Pastor. I want the Lord in my life. And I think I had the Lord in my life. But I realized that I've just added Him on top of my flesh. So nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to work. Nothing at all is going to be beneficial of this. Because the Bible says, put off your sin and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You first have to put off in order to put on. You can't keep it on. I pray that the Holy Spirit right now is telling you today what needs to go. As we wrap everything up, I am so uncomfortable right now. The things I do to get this message for you. But I, you know what? It's crazy. I'm uncomfortable, and I know I'll be uncomfortable for 10, 15 minutes. But some of you have been this uncomfortable for 10, 15 years. You're coming to church. That's great. You're showing God, I want you. But if you're coming forward, but you know you have a casual relationship with the Lord wants you to know right now. If you only know the good I can do in your life, if you just stop the casual and start the commitment. Or maybe you're here today because you are in trouble. That doesn't work with God. So if you've come here because you're in crisis, I pray that you stay here even when you're delivered. And stay committed. But I know that the majority of you guys are saying, Pastor, I know some of you. I know a lot of you in this church. I think the casual people are more for those that are listening online right now, honestly. Because a lot of you are here because you're not just casual with the Lord. Some of you are not here and you're listening online because you are casual with the Lord. The majority I know that you're not here because you're in crisis. I don't believe that. As I see the faces, I know your story. I know you're here because you're not in trouble. But I believe in our church, in my church, that God has gifted me to pastor. I know that I have a lot of you that are layered. That I know is here today in this building. It's great that you come to church every Sunday. It's great that you even come on Wednesday nights. It's great that you show up for events. Hey, it's great that you even help in some ministries here. It's great. But it's not good. Because you might be here today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm layered. I have Jesus, I think. But I also have habits. I have Jesus, but I have attitudes. I have Jesus, but I have sin. And I feel so uncomfortable. And life is not working. Because you are layered. So today my prayer is that you would begin to put off sin and put on Jesus Christ. And you're saying, Pastor, I don't think I can. That's the smartest thing you've thought today. Because you can't. That's why you need Jesus. If you have habits, if you have sin, if you have attitudes that have just haunted you for years, Jesus can take that off. But what he says of you is, come to me as you are. Commit your life to the Lord. The Bible says, commit to me and your plans will succeed. Commit. I love the fact that Peter was probably the best and the worst disciple at the same time. He was one of the best disciples because he was the one that Jesus said, on you I will build, on this rock I will build my church. The first one to start the church and change the world. But he was also the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Messed up, gave up on the ministry. Because I know a lot of you here today, you have been in that situation. Maybe you're here this morning and you're listening online and you have done things you thought you'd never do. Maybe you're far from the Lord and you don't even know how to get back. But when Peter came back to Jesus, that's the first thing you have to do, no matter where you're at, because he denied him 3 times. So some of you are repeat offenders. But Peter just came back to Jesus. So my prayer today, as I lead you in this altar call, is that if you're here for the first time or you've been here for a long time, that maybe it's time for you to just give this layer up and commit your life to Jesus once and for all. And let Him be the one to cleanse you. When Peter came to Christ, Jesus was about to use him in a mighty way, but before he did so, Jesus asked Peter a powerful question. 3 times. Why? Because he denied him 3 times, so Jesus had to make sure he would ask him 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Agape. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, are you committed to this? Are you committed to me unconditionally? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. But Peter gave him the wrong answer because Peter used the word love in the Greek word phileo, which is a brotherly friendship type of love. So Peter says, you know I love you, but it's not like commitment. That's why he denied him, because it got tough and he said, I'm out. Because he wasn't fully committed. So Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I phileo. You know I love you. And Jesus is like, oh, he doesn't get it. And the third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter got it and said, Lord, you know I agape you. Peter said, Lord, you know I'll commit to you. And right after that, Peter started the church, reached 2,000 people in one day, revolutionized the way people lived in the world. He was a huge blessing, because God, in order for God to bless you like you want Him to, in order for God to change your world like you want Him to, in order for you to experience the goodness of God in your life, the first thing that needs to be done is you need to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. If you want change in your marriage, commit that marriage to Jesus. If you want change in your family, commit that family to the Lord. If you want change in your habits, your sin, if you're tired of the layers, you need to commit to Jesus Christ once and for all, because He's waiting for you just like Jesus was waiting for Peter. So if you want God to make good out of your evil, because you're an evil person, but God can still do good through you. That's the story of Joseph. But like Joseph, if you want to see the goodness of God, God needs to see the commitment in you. But you might say, I am committed. But you might be committed with layers. You might be casually committed. Or you just have Him on call. Let's pray. Let's stand. Why do we stand? Because this message is for everyone. Don't be scared today. It's just a church. I'm just a pastor. But the Bible says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you. If you're ashamed to come to this altar, you're not committed. Because if already you're saying, oh, I'm embarrassed, you're not committed. Because when you're committed, you bypass your emotions, your feelings, your everything. And I want to give you this opportunity today as a church. Whether you're a believer or not, whether you're still questioning or doubtful of God, that's okay. But if you're here right now and you're saying, Pastor, I'm tired of the casual relationship I have with Jesus. I'm tired of only calling out to Him when I'm in trouble, feel guilty of sin, and I'm tired, Lord. I'm just tired of the layers I live with. If that represents you in any way, you come to this altar right now. Come on, come to this altar. I'm here with you. I'm here with you right now. Everyone has layers. You come to this altar. And you tell the Lord who you are. If you're saying, I want to be committed to this God. I want to be committed to this once and for all. I'm tired of the casual. I'm tired of the in and out. I'm tired, and I want to overcome evil. Because I'm tired of evil overcoming me. I want you to just bow your heads with me for a moment. If you're listening online, I'm praying with you as well. And be honest with God. See, I dare you right now to be honest and tell God, I don't love you like I should. God's not surprised by that. God's not even mad at that. Because God already knew you're not really in love with Him. But that never stopped the fact that He was madly in love with you. So I'm going to lead you in two prayers today. If you're here today, Maybe you don't know if you have Jesus. That is not something to play with. When you have a jacket on, you know it's on. There's no doubt. There's no question. So if you're doubting whether you truly have Jesus or not, there is no question that you do not have Him. Because when you have Jesus Christ as Lord, Lord and Savior, you know. So if you're living with doubt, you don't have Him. And you've been in church, and you've heard sermon after sermon, worship songs after worship songs, and all this time you have not had Jesus, and your life can end in a second. You can be driving under a bridge and in 1 second be in eternity. We saw that this week. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Because life is short, and you need to know without a doubt you have Jesus. And you get Jesus not by being good, but by being faithful and saying, Lord, I don't deserve it, but I know you're offering forgiveness for sin. And today I surrender my life to you. And you commit to the Lord once and for all. You ask Him to forgive you of your sins, because He is madly in love with you right now, and He is more committed to you than you think right now. And you pray this from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender, and I now commit fully to you. Forgive me of my sins as I now turn from them and turn to you. And I ask you now to save me and be my Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that with me, welcome to the family. I'll see you in heaven. If you prayed that with me online, I want you to call the church office or write me an email, 305-918-4545. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you need to call me, because just last night you wanted to end your life, and right now you've just given your life to Jesus. You call the church right now. Now for you that says, I have Jesus, but I have layers. You have Jesus, but there's sin in your life. You have Jesus, but there's alcoholism. You have Jesus, but there's pornography. You have Jesus, but there's bitterness and unforgiveness. You have Jesus, but there's sin. You have Jesus, but you also have sin. You have Jesus, but you also have attitudes. You have Jesus, but you also have habits. And you're saying, I have Jesus, but I also have layers. And I'm uncomfortable, because I know it does not belong. It's time for you to stop this casual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and once and for all, fully all in, commit to Him. And pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a double-minded person with layers. I love you, but I love sin. I love you, but I love, and you fill in the blank. Lord, kill this for me, because I can't. Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray your supernatural strength for them to overcome the flesh that has overcome them for years, and give them the strength to hate that evil like Joseph hated that sin. Let them run away from sin and run to you constantly when the pressure of evil gets them every day. Let them turn to you when they're weak. Let them turn to you when they fail. Turn to you so that they will overcome this sin in their life, that we may just give up our layers and serve you committedly once and for all, Jesus. And I pray, Father, that this church that you have called Forward Fellowship would not be a casual church, would not be a church with layers, or a church that only needs you when we're in trouble, but let this be filled with passion and grace and mercy and fire of those who are committed to this calling and this vision that the devil has tried to stop for 8 years. And I pray that you will bring the committed, and those that are here now, you would make them committed to this great calling and commission to reach the lost for you. And like Peter, I know you want to do something great in us, but you first need to know if we love you. Lord, I love you. I've loved you for years. I've loved you through the layers. I've loved you through the casual. I've loved you even when I've used you when I'm in trouble only. And I know that in this church, they've loved you. Father, I declare now, Forward loves you. Now use us to change the world in Jesus' name. God bless you. Love you all. Give God a shout of praise today.